Indigenous women have to navigate, obviously, very many issues in regards to being the home care, home takers of their communities, of their elders, of their parents, and then as well as navigating and negotiating the workspace. But one of the main things is just the sacredness that we understand that Native women hold. And so to be able to understand that, but then yet to not protect them legally. And so there's a lot of legal jurisdictions that are still being negotiated between tribal nations and between the United States, member states, and then how we can implement UNDRIP to be that anchor of a validation of why we need to protect and honor Indigenous women as well as children. I gave an example earlier about a 11-year-old girl who was raped and murdered last week, a girl who was coming into womanhood, and yet the protections that are there for her.
What sort of steps would you like to see taken in that direction?
When we talk about jurisdictional laws, so there's, you know, federal jurisdiction. If you're on tribal lands, you fall under federal law. So the FBI then has to negotiate that space. So, for instance, when Ashlyn Mike was abducted, she was abducted on Navajo Nation Reservation. And so the Amber Alert took 14 hours to come out. When you're on non-tribal, non-federal jurisdiction, it takes within a couple of hours, even within an hour, to get that Amber Alert out. So to be able to have that type of turnaround time, there needs to be working across jurisdictional lands, whether that's state, federal, tribal, and then how do we negotiate that also with member states working with the United Nations. So I think the things that I would recommend is having that cross-fertilization of understanding what laws are there, how do we protect the women, how do we make sure that there's a quick response time. And when those types of things happen, whether it's, you know, abduction, whether it's rape, whether it's murder, you know, those things happen in reality in our Indigenous communities, and what do we do to uphold them? And I think that's where this UNDRIP comes into play.
Would you like to see more power go to the tribes?
So I think if we held more power to determine what's culturally relevant for us, but also what is punishable for us. So would it be banishment from our community? Some places, like, they had to go and do certain things with other family members within different communities. And so how would we institute that to make it relevant for us within our own communities?
What role do you think young people have to play in preserving Indigenous culture?
I think young people have a very pivotal role to play in preserving Indigenous culture. I think I would love to see more young people here and at the permanent forum. This is my first time here, but I'm probably one of the younger ones here. So I'd love to see more youth here utilizing their voice, because oftentimes we do talk about children and we talk about the youth, but we really need to hear their voice and what is the experiences that they're having and how can we advocate for them, but also how can they advocate for themselves and how do we help them preserve their language? How do we help them preserve the culture? And what are the real obstacles that they're facing in their daily lives.
Do you see a resurgence in young people who want to protect their culture?
Yes, definitely. I know there's a lot of young people I work with on a daily basis. I'm a professor, so I work with young people who are college students who are really going out there to advocate for issues that are impacting them, whether it's at the university level, at the community level, and even within their own families. They're doing the best that they can to increase the number of language and culture that's out there and to help protect their families.